MSP registration is finally here. What does this new requirement mean for MSPs in the future, and how should MSPs respond? We will discuss this issue on today's program.
You are entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to the MSP Zone. And this is going to be an important episode, maybe one of the most important episodes, articles we've ever done. I'm writing an article on this issue to run sometime this week. And you read it right. You heard it right. MSP registration. There's a lot to deal with, so I'm going to, in addition to this article that I'm writing, I'm also going to be including the text of the actual legislation here in the podcast, so you guys can download it, view it, and read it, and hopefully comment on it, because this is a pretty significant game changer. So let's dive right in. First of all, we've been talking about this for a long time. If you've been a member of the MSP Alliance anytime in the last 20 years, if you have come to any MSP World Conference in the last probably 15, 16 years, you have probably heard someone there, maybe me, maybe others, talking about MSP regulation. And, you know, we got a lot early on, especially a lot of people saying, yeah, what are you talking about that for? That's no way that's going to happen. And we kept it up, and it's something that I've strongly believed in. We're not quite there, but we've taken a big step towards that today, and I'll explain why. So for those of you who have not been paying attention, and this one would have been a very easy one to miss because it hasn't been highly publicized. Nobody that I'm aware of has been writing about it. Nobody has been talking about it. And it's in the state of Louisiana. And the backdrop to this is obviously there's a lot of states that have been dealing with cyber attacks, and there have been a lot of public policymakers, legislators, and other types of public policy people that we have been talking to at the MSP Alliance who have been saying to us, "Hey, look, what's going on with the MSP community? Are they safe? What are they doing to help protect their customers?" And there's a lot of obvious question, right, about what MSPs do, because MSPs are so prevalent and so influential and important in what we do on this planet. So what happened is the state of Louisiana passed, it's called Senate Bill 273. And it was signed by the governor. So as far as I am aware, this is actual law. And it goes into effect February 1, 2021. So it doesn't go into effect this year, next year. And it's a short bill. It's a short law. If you guys see it, you'll read it for yourself. It's a pretty quick read. But basically what it does is, I'll paraphrase, the law requires MSPs who manage infrastructure or end user systems. Those two phrases are the kind of key operative words there for quote unquote public bodies within the state. And the law does define each of those, especially public bodies. And what it does is says, if you manage a public body for the state of Louisiana, you must register with the state. So that means the state is actually going to create a list. And you as an MSP, if you have a client that happens to be a state agency that fits that requirement of a public body, you will have to register with the state effective February 1st, 2021. The law further goes on to also say, for registered MSPs, you have to notify the state in the event of a cyber incident. That is defined in the law as well. So in many regards, that may, for some of you, say, well, why is that any different, right? All 50 states have data breach notification laws on the books. That's true. This one goes a bit further by classifying it not as a data breach incident, but as a cyber incident, and also saying that if an MSP pays any ransomware payments, that also is a trigger, and that would require a notification to the state from the MSP. So, to summarize, MSP doing business with the state public body, you have to be registered, you have to apply. It's an application process with the state, and then if certain incidents happen, you must notify the state even after you have registered. So it's a system for the state of Louisiana to basically get a handle on MSPs that are handling public infrastructure and probably data as well, and really trying to get a handle on whether they are coming under attack from a cyber criminal. And all of this is pretty pretty common sense, right? Nobody should be freaking out, other than the fact that this list is now going to exist, and it's a barrier to entry for certain MSPs doing business in that state. Now, here's a curious thing, which I'm pretty sure this is accurate. My read of the law, it does not say that you have to be inside the state. So you could be an MSP in California. You could be an MSP in the neighboring Texas or in Florida or in New York, doing business with a public body for the state of Louisiana, and you would still be required to register with the state. And I presume that would apply to anybody, any MSP, even outside of the country. So your residency inside the state of Louisiana is not a requirement, at least as far as I read this. So, all right, now that we're all brought up to speed, and again, I really recommend you guys going out and read this law for yourself. Everybody needs to know about it for the following reasons that I'll explain shortly. Here's my analysis. This is not going to be the last state to issue this type of a rule or pass a law that regulates MSPs. And you might be thinking, well, is it really regulation of MSPs? It kind of is. In some ways, it really is. And I'll explain here, because it lays the groundwork of future discriminatory actions by the state to say which types of MSPs they do or do not want operating in their state, at least in terms of public bodies and IT management. The law does talk about how applications, the MSPs applying to be in this registration, the applications can be denied or revoked. That is explicitly clear from a quick read of the law. And if you agree with that, then you could also imagine a future revision to the law that says that there could be additional requirements, maybe additional burdens, maybe additional elements to an MSP getting on this list. So you're an MSP and you do business with state public bodies, and you want to continue that business. And I don't know, maybe they say, well, you got to be a certified or an audited MSP. Maybe you have to have an MSP verify or a SOC audit or something like that. That could be a very reasonable addition to this. There could be some other types of requirements, perhaps security requirements, perhaps residency requirements or location, geolocation of the data, geolocation of the MSP principles, or maybe even geolocation disclosure of the employees who have access to the public body information. Who knows? I'm just rattling things off. This is not in the law, but this is a next logical legislative step that could come from this, because this is the framework. This is the groundwork for understanding who in the MSP community is dealing with this type of infrastructure. And that's very important. So it's going to likely spread. You're going to see it in other states. I think it's almost a guarantee. Number two, it's not going to be just the states acting. I think this could actually be taken up by other service or market verticals, for example, banking, healthcare, law enforcement. There could be requirements similar to this in terms of registration, registering as an MSP if you are, for example, managing U.S. bank infrastructure. You might be required to register as an MSP if you are handling certain state, local, or federal law enforcement databases. Those are very natural next steps to this kind of registration concept, which is not direct regulation, but it is a shot across the bow and a pretty big one, if you ask me. So I think other market verticals are probably going to be the next ones to fall, the next ones who will adopt this type of framework. I also want to add at this point a pretty emphatic analysis here about the current MSP lists that exist. And I don't mean to besmirch those, because I think that they've actually helped our community in some ways, but this is not that. What we are talking about here is not a list of the top 500, 1,000, 100 MSPs in the planet. Those lists, when it comes to these legislators, are irrelevant. They mean nothing. What these legislators, what these policymakers want to know is who has access, who is in here touching this type of data, and who is being hacked, and who is making payments to cyber criminals to get their data back, or to get the encryption keys back, whatever the case may be. That's what they're wanting to know. They're wanting some measure of insight into what is happening. And I can't say that I blame them. You know, they've got a lot going on. They've got a lot of public outcry. I think a few days ago, we read a story about the city of Knoxville in Tennessee who just got hacked. They were impacted by a cyber, by ransomware, I believe. And, you know, they're not the first United States city to have this happen. They're not, you know, it's happened elsewhere in the world, certainly. But this is happening more and more frequently. And the policymakers, the legislators, are paying attention. So what does this mean for MSPs, and what should you do in the near term? First of all, don't panic. This is talking only about public bodies, right? So private sector, as of right now, not impacted, right? You, as an MSP dealing with a business in the state of Louisiana, as long as it's not a quote-unquote public body, my read is you do not have to register. If other states pass these types of laws, who knows, they may change that. But at least in Louisiana, that's not the case. If you are transparent as a managed service provider, if you are practicing good cyber hygiene, if you are following the best practices, the best professional best practices of our community, you should have no problem. You should be in a very good position moving forward, because there are fewer of you out there than there are of other types of MSPs. And it really, in my opinion, is a question of what do the masses do? What do the large groups of MSPs who are not necessarily following best practices, who are not necessarily transparent, who are not necessarily doing everything the way they should be doing, what are they going to do? Are they going to rise to this challenge? Are they going to attain a higher level of operational security efficiency? Or are they going to stay the same? And I think that this is a pretty big divergent moment for our profession. And I think that there's going to be a lot of public debate. I hope there is. But it doesn't necessarily mean something bad for our community. In fact, I think a lot of good could come out of this, but we're certainly going to keep an eye on this. We're going to certainly keep an eye on other places around the world where they might be wanting to follow suit. Certainly Europe could be a potential with GDPR, where they create an MSP or a provider list for that community. Who knows? But we have been talking about this for a long time. It should come as no surprise, but we will be keeping an eye out and certainly advocating for the best interest of the MSP community as best we can, as we have for the last 20 years. So I hope you guys go read the law. Leave a comment if you want to come on the program and talk about this. If you have questions about it, we'd love to hear from you guys, because this is a pretty significant thing, and I hope all of you pay attention to it and do take it seriously. Thank you very much. This has been Charles Weaver with MSP Zone. We will see you next time.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast so you'll get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.